Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Boney James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Labor, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz, where you meet the artists. This is the Jazz Queen in Las Vegas, along with my co-host Mike Reynolds. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great today, Terry. Doing great today.
Good. Mike, meet Eric Evans. Eric, this is my co-host, Mike Reynolds.
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
Mike. Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Doing great today.
Well, you can join us in the chat room along with Cheryl and Joe from Germany by going to talkingsmoothjazz.com, choosing the TSJ Radio Show page, and then the play chat button underneath the Eric Evans Show. You can also call in and speak with Eric on 646-716-5485. 646-716-5485. Our guest today is flautist Eric Evans. He has a brand new CD called The Eric Evans Project that features an artist that we interviewed maybe a couple of months ago, Cecil Ramirez, keyboardist Cecil Ramirez. So I was very excited, Eric, to see Cecil on your project. So Eric, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh, no problem. So, yes, let's start with Cecil. How did you meet him?
Well, actually, it was through an engineer, producer, Ralph Stover, who's helped me with record the project. And originally I was going to, and actually two of the songs are produced by Brent Bourgeois, Bourgeois Tag. And Brent was going to play a lot of the keyboards on it, but he became unavailable, and Ralph suggested Cecil, and he turned out to be a perfect fit for the project.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, we interviewed him, as I said, a few months ago and really enjoyed him and his music. So I'm glad that you were able to hook up with him. That's cool. That's so cool. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, he's a great... Not only is he a great keyboardist, but he's a great friend and a great person. I really appreciate his work on the project.
Yeah, so I definitely need to get in contact with him and see if he's working on new music so we can get him back on. So let's go ahead and talk about your background in music and playing the flute. Now, are you classically trained on the flute?
Yes. Yeah, one of my teachers performed with the San Diego Symphony back in the day. So that James Baker, and he was a great instructor.
Okay. All right. And so now how long have you been playing the flute?
a long time, since junior high school. And I actually started... it's been out on some of my websites, but actually my parents met each other through music and through high school. They both played in high school bands and marching bands, and they encouraged me to, to choose an instrument, and they didn't care what kind it was, but they wanted me to choose an instrument. And both my mom and dad listened to jazz records, and I just really liked the sound of the flute. I used to listen to guys like Herbie Mann and Paul Horn, And I really liked the sound of the flute. My grandfather was a band director, and so he happened to actually have an extra flute. So he came over and gave me my first lesson on the flute before I actually entered junior high school. So there's a legacy there, and so that's kind of cool my grandfather, my parents, and now even my daughter is kind of carrying that legacy forward. She's actually an opera singer and in college.
Oh.
And, so.
Wow, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Musical family.
Pretty there
good.
You go.
Pretty cool. I saw the picture of your family on your website. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, I'm very blessed.
Okay, then let's start with now. I read that you toured with a couple of rock bands, and it says bands as in plural. So is Mutt and West two different bands, or is it one band?
No, there were two different bands, and
okay,
and you know, West, we toured kind of the Southwest, New Mexico, Arizona, California, Utah. A lot of different areas, and for the most part, Mutt was more of a locally based L.A., San Diego band.
Okay, and then once you became a Christian, it says that you've been deaf when you begin playing music that conveyed a more internal theme. So was that was this Eric Evans project the result of that?
No, I think it was actually, it actually, Waves of Grace, I think, still conveys eternal themes, but I think more than that, I think I went back to my roots and how I got inspired, you know, by the flute and by jazz music. It went back to, you know, instrumental and smooth jazz and stuff. So it kind of combines and integrates both those influences. I think my first two CDs probably conveyed more, although the second CD is actually more of more of the classical influence kind of came out, because it's kind of an acoustic guitar, new age, classical themed. And so this was Waves of Grace was more of, again, more of an integration of mm-hmm. kind of all the influences that I've had.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Now, Eric, I want to ask you, now, this being your third CD, I read that it took you 3 years to make the CD. Why did it take so long to get everything together for this one?
Well, when you were, you know, I've been, a, you know, it was during being a church music director, and so I kind of had to do it on available extra time. So, and I think, too, I'm a perfectionist, and so, you know, there was a lot of things that I wanted to make sure that were right before I released it, and took a lot of time in layering the tracks. Part of that 3 years was actually developing sketches of songs that I wanted to do, and so in a sense, I had pretty much recorded a lot of the songs on my own, but then I took all those songs to Ralph. Ralph Stover, and so we kind of retooled them, re-recorded them, and also using different musicians. I mean, we used Cecil Ramirez. Eddie Ramirez is actually up in the Northwest, so we, you know, we had to send tapes off to him, and nowadays, I mean, you upload it to a website, he downloads it, and that type of thing. And then there was also Steve Laurie, who's a great jazz guitarist. He lives in Tucson, and yet he's still doing stuff in kind of the analog world, so we had to send him tapes. He sent tapes back to me, and I had to get those converted. So it was a long process. There's a lot of different things. The last couple songs, like, for example, the theme song, Waves of Grace, wasn't actually written until probably the last portion of the recording. So that was part of the process as well.
Okay. Well, let's listen to some music from the CD. Again, it's called the Eric Evans Project, Waves of Grace. And you can find this on his website, ericevansproject.com. Eric, I'm going to start with track number 9. There's One Way. Tell me about this one.
Well, again, as we started the process, I developed a relationship with Steve Laurie, and he plays on a couple of the songs. And anyway, I found one of his compositions that I really enjoyed. It actually had a flute when he originally recorded the song. And I decided that I'd like to add it to the project, asked his permission, and he said it was okay. And originally I thought we were going to actually have him play guitar on it, but we actually had Lance, record guitar, and he did a great job. So anyway, this is There's One Way is a great song. I love Steve's composition, and we've had a lot of great comments about the how we've updated the song.
Okay. All right, from Waves of Grace, this is There's One Way.
Thank you.
All right. That was There's One Way from Eric Evans' Wave of Grace CD. Very nice, Eric. Very nice.
Now, Eric, I wanted to ask you, you play the flute, the alto flute, and you also play the alto sax. Now, this I actually got two questions. The first one is, why didn't you want to come out being a sax player who played the flute versus a flute player who plays the sax?
That's a great question. Yeah, I think I've you know, my emphasis always, I think I've always wanted, as far as a flute player, that's always been my emphasis. And so, and actually I picked up sax after I'd already had picked up the flute. And I know that's kind of in reverse to a lot of people, but that's kind of the way it happened. And again, you know, as we talked about before, that's the instrument I started with. And, you know, to add a little bit of diversity, I added, you know, I picked up the sax. And also, in recent years, I've been playing an iwi, or electronic woodwind instrument, which you actually hear on parts of the album. There's a it sounds like a trumpet, but that's actually me playing the electronic woodwind instrument. It's a sampler, and so it sounds pretty close to what a trumpet would sound like. And I can get all kinds of different sounds from the synth sounds and things like that as well.
Mm. Very nice.
And that was going to be my second question. The iwi, the electronic wind instrument, is that actually a real instrument, or is it a accessory that you guys just use? Because I see a lot of people using it now, like Marcus Anderson, Rich Elliott is using it. I think Mike Fitch used it. I mean, could that be a main instrument, or that's just something that you have to add on as a part-time, you know, instrument when you're playing live?
Well, I think especially jazz artists, I think you still want the live element. I mean, because when you actually blow into the instrument, it does not produce a sound on its own. It is an electronic instrument, just like a keyboard, you know, electronic keyboard, for example.
Okay.
I think more, there's not that many that's their primary instrument. I know that there are some Asian artists that is their primary instrument, and that's what they play, and they play sax or another instrument as a side instrument. But that's pretty rare. It's not. I don't think you're seeing that as much. I do know that I believe it's in Japan that they actually use iwis as a teaching tool, because kids get excited kind of about all the different sounds that it can make. So that's kind of a neat thing.
Wow.
Joe from Germany was commenting, in the chat room, was commenting about the flute. He was saying that the flute is such a versatile instrument that can express feelings much better than a saxophone.
Yeah, I mean, you have it both ways. And I think that, you know, when you have people like Herbie Mann, and you have different styles, the way just as I think as you have different sax players that can express themselves in different ways, you know, with the breaths and using your voice along with the instrument, there's a definitely you can express yourself in a different way. Although I would say that you know, sax artists, I think, when you have a guy like David Sanborn, and then you have a guy like Tom Scott, that they are, you know, although they play two different types of saxophones, you know, the sounds are totally different, and the way they express themselves is totally different. And I think it's the same way with flautists. I mean, when you have a guy like, you know, say Hubert Laws or Tim Weisberg, I mean, boy, that the spectrum there is pretty wide as far as how they express themselves and the way they go about doing that. So I think that's what's so cool about music, you know, cool about smooth jazz, is that you have very personal and you can convey yourself in a very stylist and expressive way.
Yes, yes. Now, there are four vocals on this CD. And tell me, I'm going to play one of them, but tell me who's doing the singing.
A great friend of mine, David Eugene Ivey, who I pretty much, you know, we co-wrote, even some of the instrumentals, we co-wrote songs together. He's a friend that I met up in Northern California in the Sacramento area. And it was one of those things where, you know, it was a kind of a coincidence that we met, but the more and more that we look at it, it was probably not a coincidence at all. And he's a great composer. I love to talk about the expressiveness of his voice. I just love the tone of his voice and his heart when he creates and writes music. And I'm sure, you know, the next CD he'll be involved as well. He's a great guy, and we're really close friends. So.
Okay. Before I play a song, I want to let you know that Tamara in the chat room wanted me to let you know that she says, please let Eric know how awesome I think it is that he plays at various churches, and that she will speak to her music director tomorrow about having you visit her church.
Well, great. Where's Tamara from?
She is in the Bay Area, I believe. She's in L.A. She's in L.A.
Great.
Yeah. So she's going to do that and hopefully, you know, get you down there to her church and play for them.
There you go.
Okay. So, yeah, definitely. All right. Well, let's get back to some music. Okay. The song I'm going to play next is called Home. And this is one of the vocals on the Waves of Grace CD.
Great.
right. That was Home from the Eric Evans Project, Waves of Grace. Very
Yay.
Nice. Very nice.
Now, Erica, when you write these songs, when you go into the process of doing these songs, what kind of message do you want to come out of these songs when you complete them?
Well, primarily songs of hope, songs of redemption, songs of, as far as the vocal songs, Home is, you know, there's some, a lot of different themes running through that one song. It could mean, of a couple, who have been estranged and there's that time of, coming back home to getting back together. It could be a prodigal. I think we're all prodigals at one time or another. And mm-hmm. and realizing we need to get back home, being where we need to be.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you thought about contacting any other contemporary gospel artists to, partner with on some projects?
Yeah, actually, that is a thought. As for the next CD, I definitely would be interested in doing that. A friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, it was actually a neighbor of ours, was talking about how we should contact Michael W. Smith, because of some of the different things. But yeah, I think the gospel. I like more of the soulful aspect of it, even though flute is not known for that, but I do like the, that kind of vibe to the music. So, and I think I want, for the next CD, I want it to be kind of a little more in that genre as well. So,
Have you heard of Jason Bitten?
I have not.
He's a young jazz gospel artist. He plays saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. He's on Facebook. And, the other name just escapes me. His name is Ben Tankard. That's what I'm thinking about. Have you heard of him? He's another.
No, I haven't. I'll have to look those guys up.
Yeah, Jason Bitten. He's on Facebook. And Ben Tankard is probably on Facebook as well. They're both gospel jazz artists, and they have some really nice music out. Check them out. Now, Eric, I wanted to ask you about the pictures on your CD cover. Where were these pictures taken?
The actual picture on the front cover was a picture that I found, browsing through pictures of the internet, and I actually called the gentleman up. He lives actually up in the Olympic area, up in in Washington, and asked his permission if I could use it, and he totally said yes. And so that's that front picture. The other pictures of me were actually taken up in the Bay Area, right by, kind of on the other side, the north side of the Golden Gate Bridge, on the beach there. We had fun that day going out there, and the view were great that day, especially of the bridge as well.
I can imagine. Now, I read that the water for you is very inspirational.
Yes, it is. My family and I, when we go away on vacation, when that's something that we're drawn to. Whether it's on the coast of Oregon or in Hawaii or where we pretty much have our families from, San Diego area, being down by the beach, being, near the waves. I grew up, sailing on the weekends. So that just being down by the water, that's I think there's something always inspirational about that. And the first song, that we that was actually written for this project was Seaside, and I dedicated it to my wife, my lovely wife, and because there's a town in Oregon called Seaside, It's right on the seaside, and it's a beautiful long beach. It's kind of where both the mountains and the beach kind of connect together, so there's that green aspect to it, and yet there's mm-hmm. still the grandeur of the ocean and the water and the large sandy beach there. And it's just kind of a neat, quaint town, and not too far away is a place called Cannon Beach. And so that's kind of where that whole, and that is it kind of grew from there into, well, let's just do a themed album from Seaside, you know, as we created and wrote Seaside, let's do something that's kind of themed in a way towards the ocean. And that's how Waves of Grace came about.
Okay, and that actually was the next song I was going to play, Seaside. So thank you for telling me about that, and here it is.
Great.
Thank you.
All right, from the Eric Evans Project, Waves of Grace, that was Seaside. I like the guitar in that.
Yeah, that's Lance Tabor. He's also the guitarist that played on There's One Way. He's a great guitarist.
Mm-hmm. All right, so besides you performing at Tamara's Church in the near future, what's coming up for you?
Well, I'm here in San Diego, and I hope to be playing at some clubs and churches down here, and we're looking forward. I'm actually not doing anything in December, but in January I'm hoping to be a bunch of different places, and I'll be posting that on my Facebook page as well as my Reverb Nation page as we get closer to that. So.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
No, the question that I had for Eric was I read that some people consider your music borderline, you know, smooth jazz and new age. How do you feel about that, and what would you say about people who classify your music as one or the two?
I think, again, there are those influences in there. I think one of the as far as writing music, I'm very melodic, and that's just kind of comes out even in my solos. I think there's a lot of melody to the solos, and so I can see, you know, and you could say the same thing, you know, probably in regards to Tim Weisberg. You know, Tim Weisberg is more of a, you know, he's more fusion, actually. He's more rock, you know, there's jazz a little bit, you know, later albums is more jazz influenced, but he really started kind of in, you know, where he was the most popular, it was more rock focused. So the same thing, you know, in the prior CD was very, again, more new age. You know, not that the theme, you know, because when we talk about new age music, you know, there's a kind of maybe a connotation that goes with that as far as the message of what you're trying to convey. I guess when I say new age, I'm thinking more of a unplugged or more of an acoustical, more of a, you know, a melodic, simplistic aspect to it. There are certain songs on there that, like I think February Clouds was reviewed as probably one of the, you know, could be one of the nicest, or you know, the guy that reviewed it said it was, could be a classic, and talked about that was a, you know, kind of a new age song. And For Finding the Reasons Why is kind of a ethereal song. It's not really I don't think would be classified as smooth jazz, but then again, it's been played on a smooth jazz station. So, and I think that's actually, to me, it's kind of more of a compliment, because again, it shows the difference of influences that I've had, whether it's classical, whether it's rock, whether it's, you know, jazz. That kind of comes out, I think, in those different songs in a different way.
All right. Well, I want to play one more song before we let you go, and I'm going to let you pick the next one.
Wow. Well, I probably my favorite is, or one of my favorites, I mean, there's a lot of favorite on here, would be Waves of Grace, the theme song.
Okay. All right. Here is the title track, Waves of Grace. Thank you. Grace, the title track from Eric Evans' new CD, The Eric Evans Project. And Eric, I want to let you know that Alex in the chat room said to say hello to you from your Elk Grove, California friends.
All right, Alex. Yeah. Alex is a keyboardist, and he played on my CD at my CD release concert.
All right. Well, way to go, Alex. Welcome to the show and welcome to the chat room. All right. Cool. All right, so let us know where we can find your music, and also if you're on Twitter, let us know how we can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter, I'm Eric Evans Music is my Twitter name, and you can find my music on CD Baby. In fact, my CD and the download is on sale right now, and iTunes, Amazon, it's quite a number of different places. And you can go on to my website, and there's links there as well, ericevansproject.com.
All right. All right. Well, Mike, do you have any more questions?
No, that's it for me.
All right. Well, Mr. Evans, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate having you on and giving us the opportunity
yeah.
to speak with you.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you having me on. It's a blessing.
All right. Well, you have a great day. And I will definitely be following you on Twitter, so look for my name, Jazz_Queen.
All right. Fantastic.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right.
All right, that was Eric Evans. Again, the name of the CD is The Eric Evans Project, Waves of Grace, and you can find that on his website, ericevansproject.com. Follow him, check him out on Facebook. He's on Facebook, and you can follow him on Twitter, Eric Evans Music is his Twitter handle. All right, so, Mike, I wanted to talk to you about the show that you hosted last weekend in D.C. How did that go?
The show was great. Like I said, I hosted a show for Marine Corps Entertainment, which had Philip Doc Martin and Marcus Anderson. Marcus was the special guest saxophonist of the show. And Marcus, I have to tell you, we've been talking about these young artists that need more exposure and who are the next generation of the genre. Marcus Anderson put on a show. Do you hear me? The boy put on a show. I'm sitting there, I mean, people had their mouths open like, oh, my God, because he thought it. They did a Michael Jackson song, Remember the Time, and Marcus just broke out, put down his sax, and broke out and started dancing, and people looking at him like, what is this boy doing? But they were so in awe and so, amazed at his talent and his energy. I mean, the boy was bad. You know, he's off the hook. And Philip Martin was very good. You know, Philip played extremely well. But the show was very nice. So, you guys have to look forward to those young men in the future, Philip Doc Martin and Marcus Anderson. Very nice
and
show.
Speaking of which, we interviewed Nicholas Cole a couple of weeks ago, 17-year-old keyboardist, phenomenal, phenomenal, talented young man. His debut CD is called A Journey of One. He will be opening up for Marcus Anderson and bassist Julian Vaughn on Friday, December 3rd. At the Palace Entertainment Complex in Durham, North Carolina. That's going to start at 8 o'clock. The tickets are $15 for general admission and $30 for VIP. But I am so excited for Nicholas and Marcus and Julian to have him come on and open up for them. I only wish I could be there to see that.
That's going to be a hot show. I talked to both Marcus and Julian, and they're both excited that Nicholas is going to be on the show. And Marcus texted me that, I guess he's going to be, kind of like taking Nicholas under his wing and trying to help him out as far as being a young artist and everything. So I expect a lot from this young man in 2011. I mean, because he's hot. Nicholas is hot. And,
yes, yes,
and,
he is.
And Julian Vaughn as well. Julian is bad. Julian is a bad dude, too, in that bass.
Yeah. So, again, that's going to be Friday, December 3rd. Nicholas will be opening up for Marcus Anderson and Julian 6'7 Vaughn at the Palace Entertainment Complex.
6'7, all right.
He's 6'7. At the Palace Entertainment Complex, the show starts at 8 o'clock p.m., and that's at 2000 Chapel Hill Road. So you can go to Nicholas' website, nicholascolejazz.com, and find out more information about that. And I understand that Marcus is putting together a flyer, so once that's done, he'll post that on Facebook. But I encourage you, if you are in the area, definitely go see these three play. Definitely go check them out and see them play.
Yes, definitely.
Sure.
And, you know,
for
I can't go because, you know, I'll be at a event as well with Tony Exum Jr. Up here in Columbia, Maryland. He's playing the exact same date. And I'm like, dude, you can't move the date back or something? So, you know, Marcus and them had already had that date set. So I'm like, look, somebody got to move that date, okay? I need to be at both these events. But Tony Exum is going to be in the Maryland area up in Columbia, Maryland at the Doubletree Hotel. And that event is $10. But a little secret, if you get there before 7:30, it's free. So come on out and try to fill the place up so you guys can witness, like I said, the next generation in contemporary smooth jazz.
Yes, yes, definitely. Have a couple of Christmas tours coming up. I'm starting off with David Benoit. His A Charlie Brown Christmas kicks off December 3rd at the Cerritos Center for the Performing Arts in Cerritos, California. Peter White kicks off A Peter White Christmas featuring Rick Braun and Mindy Hebert on November 26th. That's going to be at the Regency Lake Tahoe Resort, Spa, and Casino. And then Dave Koz hits the road on November 26th with Jonathan Butler, Brian Culberson, and Candy Dolfer. Their first show is at the Sunrise Theater in Fort Pierce, Florida. So for more dates and more information, you can visit their websites, benoit.com, and that's B as in boy, ENOIT.com, peterwhite.com, and davekoz.com.
And also Brian Culberson has it on his site as well. So you guys can go to brianculberson.com, and he has a list of the whole Dave Koz Christmas tour on his site also.
Okay. All right. Well, let me thank Alex. Thank you so much, Alex, for joining us today and hanging out in the chat room with us. Thank you for that. Andrew and C.D. McGee, welcome back to the show, C.D. We're glad to see you back in the chat room and glad that you are doing well and you recovered from your accident. So welcome back, Cheryl, Chris, glad to see you here as well. I'm Sultry too. Joe from Germany, welcome. And Tamara, thank you all for hanging out with us in the chat room. And Miss Anita, she had to leave, but thank you for hanging out with us in the chat room. I also want to thank David Gonzalez of SmoothWayJazz.com for promoting our shows, and Michael Anthony Fernandez of RhythmAndJazz.com for airing our shows. So thank you guys for supporting Talking Smooth Jazz. We really appreciate it. I'm going to close the show with another song from Eric's CD. This is called Shoreline Highway. You have been listening. Oh, tomorrow, we are talking, we will be featuring Wayman Tisdale's The Funk Record with our special guest, Regina Tisdale, and one of the producers, Derek Allen. So that is tomorrow, 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific. You want to tune in for that. If you do not have that CD, I highly recommend you get it. Wayman Tisdale's The Funk Record. I highly recommend you get that. All right. You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to Talking Smooth Jazz with you tomorrow from the Eric Evans Project, Waves of Grace. This is Shoreline Highway. Until tomorrow, keep it smooth.